Welcome to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. The Grow Show is brought to you by Marty Grunder's Grow Group, where we specialize in teaching landscaping companies how to clarify their platform, grow their people, build their processes, and realize profits. Everything we teach is grounded in real experience. Our team is actively involved in the day-to-day operations of Southwest Ohio's Grunder Landscaping Company. New episodes of The Grow Show are released weekly on Wednesdays. Remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Filling in today for Marty Grunder is me, the Grow Group's content and event manager, Emily Lindley. Welcome back this week to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. I'm Emily Lindley, and I'm going to steal Marty's opener for this week with The Grow Show is the greatest thing since hiring a professional landscaping company. I've obviously worked with a professional landscaping company that is part of my job at The Grow Group and at Grunder Landscaping Company, but having them work at my house is always just really a treat. We built a new construction house and the builder installed some landscaping. They had their landscaper install some landscaping. And as a funny aside, the front landscaping is so bad that my brother, who works for Grunder Landscaping and drives a company car, won't park in my driveway when he comes over because he doesn't want the neighbors to think he's responsible for what they did to the front yard. So if that gives you any idea of the landscaping that we were left with when we moved in, I think that should be sufficient. We will be using that property and those before and after photos once we get the landscaping redone in the front. This week, they are here working on the backyard. So we are getting a patio and some backyard landscaping done. The front yard is going to be a later priority. Unfortunately, I'd like to do it all at once, but we are doing the backyard first to kind of get that usable space for my two-year-old to be able to run around outside and get some outside time in just in time for the cooler fall weather. So we're very excited to have them here. And this was my first time having a non-professional landscaper, I guess, work on our house and see what was done in the before and what the builder provided, and seeing the difference in just the detail that they bring and having plans for where plants are going to go, thinking through where plants are going to go. I think it just sets professionals apart. And so I know you all know this, right? All of you watching this, you're already the professional landscapers, but the people who put in my front landscape put in 3 burning bushes in a not very large front yard. So if that gives you any idea of what we're working with, but I'm very excited to see the end result. We've got some cool plants coming, some great patio. I'm going to have some really great before and after photos and videos that will be used on Grunder Landscaping social media later. So you'll be able to see it at some point. But moving on, this week, we are going to be talking about organic social media and the importance of this. So I mentioned that we just moved into a new construction house and the builder did the landscaping. About a year ago, my husband and I had decided it was time to move. We loved our old house. It was super cute. It was in a very cute neighborhood, walkable neighborhood in Cincinnati. But just the floor plan was not working for us anymore. We needed a little more space and we needed an open floor plan. It was an older house built in like the 1930s. So it just had the limitations that come with a house built at that time, you know, small kitchen, segmented rooms, etc. So we began looking at options and we were interested in building and possibly buying a house that was already kind of under construction, but that we could finish and pick the finishes out on. And one of the places I was looking for builders and for inspiration was social media. And I can't lie to you, it wasn't the final decision maker. The builder we actually ended up going with doesn't have a strong social media presence, but it was difficult for me to not go with. There were 2 other builders who did have impressive social media presences. And it was a little hard for me not to go with them, if I'm being honest, because just the work that they do is so beautiful and they do such a great job of photographing it. Where without that social media presence, it was a little harder to kind of know what we were getting. I think it's definitely an advantage. Now, do I think it is the end all be all and why somebody's going to choose to work with you or not choose to work with you? I don't know that I think quite that strongly, but I do think it can build your case. It can get you that edge over your competition, especially if they're not doing a lot of organic social media work. And it really is the precursor to running social media ads. It's not a good idea to be running ads and have nothing on your page organically. You want to have content back on your page so that if they see your ad and click back to your profile, there's more for them to scroll and more for them to see, and so that they can tell you're legitimate. Even better if you have engaged clients who are commenting on your things. That's one of the things I was looking for, was like, oh my gosh, were the clients like raving about them, past clients raving about them in the comments? Because it's just that social proof that we're always looking for when you're in a residential market, when you're working with homeowners who tend to a little bit have an innate distrust of any contractor they're hiring, right? So organic social media. I'm going to share 3 things today that I think you should be considering while you're working on your social media. And these are things that I think are important, whether you already have a social media presence that you're proud of, things that can help you if you're already doing a great job of this, but also things that might help you get started if you're not. So
Number one is consistency. So I think you always should start with picking your channels. Which ones are you going to spend time on? We spend time on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook for a Grunder Landscaping Company. Those are the three that are our priorities. I know there are a lot of companies that are using TikTok and prioritizing that platform, and I think that's a great idea as well. It's just not one that we've dedicated time and resources to because of the video requirements for that content. It's just a little bit of a higher bar for what you have to produce and what goes into actually making the content for TikTok versus an image for the other two or the other three profiles. I think you can make an argument for any and all of these profiles to be important to you. It's just about what you choose to spend your time and efforts on. The one channel that I do think is definitely worth the time would be LinkedIn. You can get a lot of organic traction on LinkedIn still in ways that it can be harder to on Instagram and Facebook without having some paid ads in the mix as well. But you can get really, really great organic engagement on LinkedIn. And I think the idea that maybe you're not hiring team members from LinkedIn stops some companies from spending time there. But I think it's equally important to consider that a lot of our clients are spending time on LinkedIn, whether you are on the commercial side or the residential side. If people have a house, they probably have jobs. They might have a LinkedIn profile for their work. They might see your posts on LinkedIn and then consider you for residential. Now, I think for commercial, the case is obvious, right? You've got property managers who are spending time on LinkedIn that you can reach on that platform. But I think no matter what your focus is, I think LinkedIn is a smart one. The others are ones that you can add or not do depending on your strategy. So once you've decided which platforms to use, I think it's important to commit to X number of posts per week. And that commitment should be something that is sustainable for you. There's an influencer I follow and she reviews cars from the perspective of, are they car seat friendly? Do they work for families? One of her biggest pet peeves is the lack of ceiling vents in SUVs. So I always love when she goes on a rant about that. It's the car mom if you are not following her and are interested. But she frequently will post that she hates withholding content, that they shot a bunch of videos and she's so excited to post them. And so she wants to post like three of them in a day. And her sister, who helps her with the content, is always holding her back and saying, you know, no, it's not time. We got to space these out, release like one a day so that we have content over the week. So her sister is right. We should be holding back content and spacing it out over the week. But I just find that whole argument so relatable because you shoot something and you're so excited and you're like, let's just put it all out there so everybody can see it. And it's smarter to space it out over time so that you have like one post a day for a week. Or you can do, I think you can be successful with three posts a week. I don't think it needs to be five or seven necessarily. You just need to have some sort of consistency in what you're posting and how often you're posting. That is a long time ago. That was like an algorithm thing. You had to be posting daily for your content to get organic reach. I don't know that the algorithms are that particular anymore as far as like you need to be posting once a day. I don't think that's the truth anymore. But you do need to have some consistency there. It's not great to like post every day for a week and then not post again for 2 weeks and then post every day for a week and then not post again for a week. Try to build up your content so that you can maintain that consistency and space out your content however far you need to maintain that consistency. Even if it's only one post a week to start, that's still something. So my second point, this is a housekeeping item, just the security of your accounts. This is something that I think is really easy, especially in a small business, for us not to take seriously. But we need to be really careful with admin rights and access to our social media accounts. Being careful with passwords and making sure we're using unique passwords and that we have two-factor authentication turned on where it's available. Two-factor is when they text you to confirm that you are trying to log in. Now, one thing I will caution you is obviously you want to make sure that if a team member leaves the company does not lose access to your profiles. So the person who has the two-factor set up with their phone number, it should be either a company-owned phone number, a team member who maybe is the owner, or somebody who is very, very stable and not going anywhere, because it can be hard to change that phone number later down the line if you need to. So just be very, very mindful when you're setting up that dual factor authentication that it might not be the best idea for your marketing person to be like their cell phone number be the number on that. And then for admin rights, so for the different profiles work differently, right? So for Facebook and LinkedIn, it's going to be admin rights. So that means you are going to approve an individual's personal profile to be an administrator on your business page or profile. For Instagram, it can work a couple different ways. Most commonly, I'm going to guess most of the companies watching this or listening to this on the podcast probably just share the login information with their team. So for Instagram specifically, again, that's where the dual factor authentication is going to be important, that you pick a number that, or pick a phone number to tie it to that is a number that's going to stay with the company, just for the continuity's sake. I don't want anybody locked out of their accounts. So, and speaking of being locked out of their accounts, it's also important that you have at least two people tied to each profile as an admin. That is just in case one person gets locked out of their account, you have somebody else as a backup. Just in case one person leaves the company, you have the other person as a backup. So I think that's always important. But one thing I'm going to call out is the two people who are admins, they need to be people who are mindful of their personal account security, because if their personal accounts get hacked, that can take down your business page as well. I've seen it happen to restaurants and local bars and things like that in our area who have had their account held hostage and then have had to recreate a new profile because they can't get back in. Unfortunately, that stuff does happen. So you do want to have people who are very mindful of their personal account security be the ones who are admins. And then in that same vein, I don't give admin access out to people who don't need it. What I mean by that is if there is somebody who maybe it would be good if they could see the comments on your Facebook page, but they're not going to be the one responding, we can share those comments via screenshots, or they can check online. They can go and look. They don't need to be seeing things privately. The people who need admin access are the ones who are going to be posting, who are going to be responding to comments, and who might be responding to messages that come in. So that's what to think about. And then we want to be very mindful when somebody leaves the company that we are removing their access from as an admin from these pages. It's an easy step to miss when somebody leaves. You know, you're looking at shutting down their access to other things, but I think it's important to consider that one as well. Just things to think about in keeping that account secure is really important. Just if you're going to be investing the time and energy into building up the content on that page and talking about followers and getting more followers, you want to also protect it the best you can. I've had our social media, we do use a subcontractor for our social media. They've recommended that we do verified accounts for our businesses, but then also for our any personal accounts that are tied to a lot of admin rights. That's something that I'm working on setting up. So my account will probably be the one that has the verified mark. It just gives you a little extra layer of security and an extra level of support if you do need it down the line, if something does go wrong. The third thing I want to talk about related to social media marketing is more of that content piece. So thinking through what we post, when we post it, etc. One thing I want to encourage everybody to do is just focus on them. And I see a lot of companies doing a really, really fantastic job of this out in the wild that I see on social media. I see people posting Dennis7Ds. They have a great social media presence. I actually really love following them. Another account that I recently started following that I'm really, really loving what they're putting out is Proven Winners. I guess I'm outing my interests in that. I really like looking at the plants and everything that they're using. And I love following companies that do really, really impressive and great install work, even though they're not in my area, because I like to see what work they're getting done. So other companies that I love that do a great job with this, Melosi in Nashville, Tennessee, Complete Land Sculpture in Dallas, they do some really, really incredible work. They're also going to be our Grow 2026 hosts, but they do really incredible work and take fantastic photographs of it that they share on their social media. I love seeing all that. I love seeing the inspiration that they all bring to the table. But one thing I see these companies doing really well is they're focusing on what their target audience cares about and what they want to see. So talking about how they're going to use a property after it's done, talking about what they can do and what they can bring to the table if somebody works with them. So I mentioned earlier, right? Like this is, I've only ever had Grunder Landscaping work on my landscaping. I've never had another company work on my landscaping in the whole time that I've been a homeowner. And so I already knew that they like bring this level of expertise to things, but I think I maybe took it for granted. And I think as a consumer, if you've hired a company that maybe didn't know what they were doing, having the confidence that the next company you hire is going to know what they're doing, they know the mature plant sizes, so they're not going to plant a 25-foot choke cherry right in front of your front door, which, true story, that did happen to me too. If you're adding up all the plants in the plant pallet in my front yard, you're probably as confused as I was when I saw the install. But the whole thing, really, it's all about focusing on them and selling the benefits that you bring to the table. But I like to, and we like to do it in like a content marketing way. So talking about how it's going to work. I'm trying to make it interesting. We love to use videos to show that as well. And we're also right now talking about seasonal issues, and we've seen success in, actually, we had a very, very high open rate on an email we sent out recently that was just a list of seasonal issues that we're seeing on properties that we sent out to our full email list. It's something that we're also talking about on social media, although we're typically breaking those things into individual posts there. But there are some issues we're seeing in the landscapes right now that are common for this type of year in some cases, and some of them are new. So we had a lot of rain this summer. So we went from, you know, some of the annuals are like drowning. They're really drowning. They really struggled this year. And we went from so much rain that the water was just sitting everywhere to straight into a drought. So then we went a few weeks without rain, and now everything's dried out. And now we're having to remind the clients, hey, you need to water all your landscaping that hasn't been installed for more than a year. Yes, we know it rained all summer, or all spring and all summer, but it's still important that we get water to the roots of these plants. Now that we are in a drought, there is not groundwater left below for them to reach, and we do need to be supporting them. So some examples of issues that we're focusing on right now is, again, that watering reminder. We were talking about brown patch in lawns, so the fungus that lawns can get from too much water, and just knowing that if you put more water on it, it's actually going to make it worse. So let our team come out and diagnose it for you, and then our lawn care specialist can also bring a solution if it is brown patch. Talking about that and what to look for on your property. We also have issues with the box tree moth in our area, and really, really the damage from them has picked up within the last, I would say, 3 weeks at the time of recording this episode. It's really gotten much more severe, and homeowners are noticing it. It is something that our lawn care technicians, again, have the capability to treat for, but we're seeing some plants that are by the time we get there, they're pretty far gone, so we're not sure if they're going to come back next year. Although Alan on our landkeeping team, he's pretty confident, because last year we saw some damage from this pest as well, and he saw boxwoods who came back from it, last year's infestations. That's another just seasonal issue that we're talking about, and talking about the solutions for and what they are and how they exist. Also talking about what we're already doing for some of these things in the case of our maintenance clients. So our maintenance clients get a lot of things included that they don't even have to think about. We've been treating our maintenance plants for preventatively for box tree moth since the spring. If they have boxwoods on their properties, they've been being treated on every maintenance visit for them so that we make sure that they don't go down. So their boxwoods are looking great. Meanwhile, their neighbors might not be, but this is all like what goes into thinking through what we're going to post about. It's just, what do clients find interesting? And a lot of the times those seasonal issues are because they're seeing it on their neighbor's properties, or maybe they're seeing something on their own property, if they're not a maintenance client of ours, that we could help them with and take off their plate for next year. So these are all, it's just trying to get into the mindset of your client when you are creating the content. So thinking through, like, there was a post that just went up on our social media this week that was about gathering places and how you're going to use your patio and having people over. So thinking through like the social aspect too, I think is important, especially as we head into the fall months when the weather gets cooler and the way people are using their outside spaces changes, and maybe they're seeing an opportunity to do something different. Those are my three tips for you to consider for your organic social media this week. I hope that helps you. And if you want to learn more, if you want to get more into social media, I'm always happy to talk about it. We are working on finalizing our agenda for Grow 2026 right now. There will be marketing sessions on the agenda. Have no fear. We will be talking marketing in some way, shape, or form. We'll be announcing what sessions those are going to be soon. But keep an eye out, because Grow Early Bird Pricing does end November 1st. So if you know you want to join us in Dallas, it's February 10th through 12th. We are going to be touring Complete Landsculpture, who I mentioned does a great job of photography and highlighting their properties that they've worked on. They also do just incredible work in the Dallas, Texas market. So I think it's going to be a great opportunity for us to learn from them, whether you're interested in marketing or whether it's something else that you want to be focused on for next year. So I hope you sign up, and please sign up before that early bird deadline ends, because the price does go up on November 1st after that cutoff, and we can extend it beyond that. So I hope to get you guys the best price I possibly can. Register before that deadline, and I hope to see you in Dallas. So that's all I've got for you this week on the Grow Show powered by Steel. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Grow Show. A special thanks to the folks at Steel, whose support makes this podcast possible and whose outdoor power equipment makes our jobs easier every day. Remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and head to growgroupinc.com to learn more about our other offerings or to find more information to help your landscaping business. We'll talk to you next week.